Well, I have a wonderful electronic invention I want you to see. It looks something like you.
What's up, Curiosity Builders? I'm Chris Martin, and you're listening to Getting Work to Work, a weekly podcast for creative entrepreneurs and leaders looking to grow, not only by learning new things, but by connecting their work to big ideas and overcoming the barriers that prevent them from doing the work they were born to do. The message I seem to be getting lately all sounds the same. Define your target audience, find a problem they have, and offer solutions for them. I know that's sound business advice, but I don't know if it's my stubbornness or my streak of defiance, but I want to rebel every time I hear that. In this episode of Getting Work to Work, I'm going to explore how you can make the stuff you want to make and then find your niche, genre, or tribe. Show notes and links for this episode can be found at gwtw.co/241. This evening, my wife and I were walking around the mall, just kind of talking, and I said, I don't know what I'm going to talk about in today's podcast. And so we just started talking, and we had just gotten out of the movie Happy Death Day to You. And we were talking about how, in many ways, the sequel wasn't as popular as the first one because the genre had shifted from being more of a horror film to a film that kind of transcended genres. It was romantic comedy kind of in spots. There was a lot of quirky humor. There was science fiction, science type stuff. There was horror elements. And so there wasn't like one solid genre that you could put it into. And I'm like, that's it. That's what I'm going to talk about. Just like genres are literally a great place to start with, I was starting with this idea of that sometimes when we're building our businesses, we get a lot of advice that says, you know, you need to find your target audience first. You need to find problems to solve for them and solve them. And that's sound business advice. That's really good stuff. But from the creative standpoint, is there anything more shitty than hearing that? Because deep down inside, we know what we want to make. We know that we want to make art that makes our soul sing. Because, like James Victoria said on Instagram not too long ago, I know that if it works for me, it's going to work for others. And the entrepreneur in me is like, but that's so wrong. That's not what people say. That's not what the rules say. But he's saying that he doesn't care about the rules. He just cares about what resonates with him. And it's the search for authenticity and really making sure that your voice is resonating and operating at its peak maximum level. And that's just fascinating because why do we go down this road of needing to be so certain? And by picking genres and niches and target audiences. These are just the questions I ask, not because I'm stubborn, well, probably because I'm stubborn, but because I think it's a good question to ask. And it really is something to consider when you're working on your creative projects. Maybe it's a website design company, maybe you're a filmmaking company, maybe you're a photographer. A genre is a great starting point, but a genre should never be the end goal. Because you need to learn and then break and defy the rules so that you can make it on your own. So in this episode of Getting Work to Work, I'm going to share four ways to defy your genre or target audience and make your stuff. First, start with a genre, learn the rules of that genre, and then break them as you bring your vision to life. So, back to Happy Death Day. The first one was more of a straight-up horror film. The second one transcended into probably three or four other genres, other categories. And it made it harder to pin it down as to what it was. What kind of film was it? And what's interesting is like, why does that matter? It was an entertaining, fun film. Just because you can't classify it as one, does that take away the validity of the work itself? And I think that's what the filmmakers were doing. They started with a genre, they operated within the rules of that genre, and then in the sequel, they broke them. Broke them hard. And they're going to break them hard if they make a third one. they definitely set it up for it. So that's kind of what you want to do when you're building your stuff. Yeah, start with a genre. Say you're going to make a horror film, or maybe you're going to write a horror novel, or you're going to write a sci-fi novel. There's a ton of rules, and there's going to be people that are holding you to those rules. And I think that's why you don't want to stay in that place, because you're going to be beholden to the gatekeepers and the rule keepers. And that's not what creative people really need. We need rules for ourselves, but not imposed from outside forces. Second, genres and target audiences are artificial constructs that help us to organize our world. Last year, I taught a course at a university, and it was all about how we organize information. And we looked at things like the Dewey Decimal System, and we looked at, you know, alphabetization, and all of the things that we do to make an infinite world and an infinite world of knowledge manageable and organizable. And they're just artificial constructs that people came up with to try to make sense of the world so that other people could find the stuff that they wanted them to find. But here's the interesting thing. Genres and target audiences are fluid and evolve over time. Do you know what the Dewey Decimal System really is? Do you even care, or do you just type shit into Google? Probably that one. You don't care. Most of us don't care anymore, but the Dewey Decimal System was fascinating, and it was really conceived because it was the shape of one person's knowledge, and he wanted to dictate what was more important based upon the order in which it fell. But we don't believe that way anymore because things are fluid and evolve over time because of visionaries, iconoclasts, artists, freaks, weirdos, and savvy entrepreneurs. Think about the people that are changing society. It's pretty much those categories of people. Hey, genres of people. But figuring out how to change those definitions, that takes some definite work. And especially if you want to alter them forever. But, you know, why spend all your time doing that when you can just figure out the stuff that you want to make and get it out there? How do you talk about the work that you do? How do you impose the boundaries of your work? These are those artificial constructs that we often think about. Third, creating work for an audience or in a genre is a paradoxical reality. You satisfy the audience, and you're probably going to get critically slammed. Forsake the audience for the critics, and you'll be a sellout. I could pull so many examples right now. I'm thinking of, you know, Metallica's entire career. I could think of, you know, most of the movies that are critical darlings. Does the modern filmgoer watch them? Or, you know, superhero films that, you know, the critics pan. The moral of this story is to be true to your vision. Be true to the work that you are making and the story that you're telling. Because if you find yourself in a paradox, the only thing that you can really do is not fall into the traps of the paradox, which I guess is a paradox. My head hurts. I don't like the word paradox because it's hard to wrap our mind around. This is why we love genre so much. Because it takes challenging thoughts and ideas and puts boundaries on them. Popping into my mind right now is why I didn't like web design when I first learned it. Because there was no page size. We weren't designing to a page anymore. We were designing to different monitors and different devices now. And it's hard to wrap our mind around the infinite possibilities. So we create artificial constructs again in everything that we do. So how do we defy the genre? How do we define the boundaries and the constructs? Well, some boundaries are good. But in this instance, we want to break them down so that our work can sing. So fourth and finally, don't worry about capturing the attention of everyone. I think about this often. When I was starting my business, when I've been at key moments in my business, I thought that I was going to be for everyone. Now, I still don't quite know all of the answers to the people that my work resonates with. But I know it's not for everyone. And I know that it's more than a few people. So what you have to do, I think, is start with yourself, branch out to a small group, and start discovering who your people are. Who are the people in your tribe, in your niche, in your genre, and keep in relationship with them, because they're the ones that are going to show up, buy the tickets, buy your stuff, because you're making the stuff that they love. And you don't know what genre they're in. You just know that you love their stuff. One final thought that's just coming to my mind is that when you're playing the genre target audience game, what are you really looking for? You're really looking for certainty. We live in an uncertain world. We don't really know what the rules are anymore. So when we play, well, if I'm going to make a podcast that fits solely in the business subgenre category of careers, well, that's not really what I set out to do, but that's what the genre ended up being. Is that just, you know, certainty that that's where the audience is? I don't know if people are really going through those categories to find this podcast, or are they just finding it in other ways? So this idea of genre target audience, I think, is really about certainty in an uncertain world. And that's why you need to defy your genre. Why put your energy into a certainty that's not real when you can just start building it from the ground up? These are some kind of deep thoughts for the night after, you know, watching a really fun, campy horror slash sci-fi slash comedy slash rom-com film called Happy Death Day to You. What is your genre? Who cares? Just make it. Make your stuff. Bring your vision alive and keep producing your work, because people will be there over time. It might take longer, but it might be more authentic. It might be more real, and people might love your stuff that much more. As we come to the end of this episode of Getting Work to Work, I want to thank you for listening to this podcast. Would you be willing to share Getting Work to Work with other creative entrepreneurs, leaders, and curiosity builders who are on the mission of building cultures of curiosity? You can send them to gwtw.co to access every episode of this show, or you can have them search for Getting Work to Work on most podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Do you have a big idea that you're chasing or want to share about how you're growing in your creative business? Perhaps you need some advice, encouragement, or just want someone to say hi to? Drop me a line by sending me an email. I'm Chris at chrismartinstudios.com, or you can find me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at CM Studios. Not only do I love talking about curiosity, but I love writing about it too. So be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter, The Curiosity Lab. Every Monday, I share some thoughts about what I'm learning and what's blowing my mind, as well as a spotlight on a creative professional you might not know. I also share short guides and sneak peeks at projects that I'm working on. You might want to sign up soon, because on Monday, I'm announcing a new series that you can sign up for called The Curiosity Killers. It's going to be an awesome 7-part series at how you are killing your curiosity and what you can do to bring it back, to revive it. You can sign up today at thecuriositylab.net or at the bottom of the show notes page at gwtw.co/241. Until next time, may creativity and curiosity fuel your life.